Good evening, folks. This is Carolyn Evers. And as you know, this is one of my favorite times of the week. And I have brought along one of my favorite people.
Good evening, Carolyn. Good evening, everyone. This is Richard.
We're glad you came along, Richard.
Thank you for the invitation.
If you get our emails, you know that tonight we're going to be working with a marvelous gentleman by the name of Mozart. Richard, if there's anybody that is not getting our emails, how can they get on the list?
Yes, you just go to our website, the 2012countdown.com, and you can enter your name and email address on the top or bottom of any page on that website. You'll receive an email which you acknowledge, and it's all done.
Easy enough.
Yes.
So, Richard, have you been conversing with Mr. Mozart?
We've been having a few words, yes.
That's good. Can you describe his energies to our audience?
I believe I can. And I find his energy very interesting. I find it quite unusual, actually. It is, you might say, a very quiet energy in a way. He's not an individual that I find displaying great love, though it's not absent. I sense there was, even though he was a prodigious composer and so on, I sense there was a humility about the man. I sense that he was an observer of the world very much. He was very intelligent, is my sense. And he accepted his gift, and he saw it as a gift. He didn't see his composing and his musical talent in terms of playing and so on, something that was, you might say, special about him, but rather it was a gift that he had been given that he wanted to make the most of. So there is this acceptance. There is this humility, interestingly. And I guess the word would be a sense of responsibility almost to, you might say, realize on the gifts that he had been given. It's a very interesting energy, very, very different from anything else that I have ever connected with.
That's wonderful, Richard. Thank you. Now, does Mr. Mozart have a message for us this evening?
Let's see what he has to say. It is my honor to come forth in this manner. It was not something that I ever imagined that I would do or be able to do, but here we are. I am aware that others have come forth in this manner, and so I had become aware of the possibility, but I was not pushing for this. You might say I was shoulder-tapped for this conversation, and I was very willing and indeed quite eager to come forth. Of course, I as a soul continue to exist, but in terms of the human experience, my life occurred really quite some time ago now, and you expect that that human experience will stay frozen in time, you might say, and interpreted through the lens of time and all the distortions that are applied to that lens. And so to have the opportunity to come forth and express things as I saw them myself is really quite a special opportunity and is, as I say, not something I ever expected to be able to do. And even though it is many years since I lived, it seems like yesterday in a way, because my life was so intense. I don't say that my life was easy, because in large measure it was not. It was a struggle on many levels. It was a struggle health-wise, it was a struggle financially, and I had many disagreements with people who I officially was indentured to or was serving in a manner. And the expectation of those individuals was that I would, you might say, stay in my box and do as they commanded, because the authority was very much with royalty and with the church. And whilst I respected that, I found it very stifling. And so finally, I broke free of that mold. But I, you might say, challenged that yoke that was placed upon me. And it was really a yoke that all composers and musicians wore in one form or another in that time. And indeed, in ways, for the most part, they do today. But back then, it was very restrictive. And I really felt a strong drive to, you might say, write out what was being given to me, because as history has recorded, I would at times go for a walk in the evening and an entire piece would come into my mind as I walked. It was not as if I had to go through some laborious process, but it was simply given to me, and I would go home and write it down. You might find this hard to imagine, but it really was like that. And if you have seen the movie August Rush, whilst it has some elements that are a little challenging, the notion of that young boy bringing forth music from those that gave it to him was really very much like my own experience. I recognized that I was given very unusual skills at birth, the ability to play as I played at a very young age with seemingly perfect pitch and a sense of timing, and a fascination with music was not something that I learned. It was very clear to me that I came into my life with these skills, and I recognized in my own way that it was a gift and a responsibility that I had been given. And once my life ended, I was able to understand that a little better. I truly did come into that life with a very clear mission, you might say, to generate, if that is the word, perhaps more document the music that I was being given, because really it was like that. And so I felt honored, I felt privileged, but more than both of those things, I felt a responsibility, as I say, to get my music down on paper, because it felt very important that what I was given be expressed in a manner that would survive the test of time and be available to not only those composers who followed me to, you might say, go to school on, but also people in later years to be able to access what I had brought forth and to play it and enjoy it in later times, which, as you know, has occurred, because so much of my music has been preserved and is played widely today. And for that, I am very grateful, not so much for myself as, you might say, those who gave me the music. I had a responsibility to bring it forth and to make it available to humanity, and I, in large measure, I achieved that. As you may know, I had a relatively short life, a mere 35 years. And as history records, I was composing for 30 of those 35 years, give or take. And for many composers, that is not an unusual composing span, because many start a good 10 or 15 years after I did. However, of course, if I had lived longer, there is obviously other music that I would have brought forth, some music that I was working on that I would have completed and so on. But what I brought forth, I am very proud of, and I am very pleased that it has remained in large measure available to people to experience and enjoy. And as some of you may know, I also had interest in music other than Western music. I had some interest in some of the music from the Middle East, and actually composed music that related to that area of the world. So I was not restricted, you might say, to this Western perspective, though that does not receive perhaps as much publicity as my, what you might consider, more mainstream music. So, as I say, I felt honoured, I felt a responsibility, and really it was a joy to simply be this fountain of music, is how I would best describe it. I really felt like I was this bubbling fountain from which music poured forth. Yes, it bore my name, but as I say, it was as if it were given to me. And my ability to simply notice it, you might say, as it came into my mind, was in a sense reflected by my ability to listen to the Gregorian chants in the Sistine Chapel and then go home and write them down. People look at that with great wonder, perhaps, but really it was part of the gift set that I was given in my life, so that I was able to, in a sense, be given this music and then be able to transcribe it, in essence, in all its detail, the various instruments and so on. And besides that sense of responsibility, on a level it was a game for me, a game because it was so easy and because I could so easily transcribe for different instruments a piece that had been given to me in a way just for fun, to allow it to be expressed in different forms. And again, it is not something that I really needed to study to be able to do, although I did study, of course, particularly with my father. But it was just there in me. And of course, interaction with other composers was very helpful, because I could see firstly what they were doing and why they were doing it, but also it helped me appreciate the gift that I had been given. In my experience, most other composers found the process of composing far more challenging, you might say, more structured, more of a burden than I did. As I said, for me, it was like being this bubbling fountain from which music poured forth. So, even though my life was challenging and in many ways relatively short, I do feel that I delivered on the essence of what I came to do, and that was to be this channel for the music that came forth through me. That is the best way I can express it. And I was grateful for the opportunity to interact with people who appreciated what I was bringing forth and supported me in various ways, financially, as friends, and so on, as I went through this process. So it was a gift, in a sense, that I was given. Now, some of you may wonder, what am I doing here talking to you about this other than telling this story as I saw it? And there is a key reason, in fact, that my music was given to me to come down through time. And that is because so much of the music in your world today has been deeply distorted and interfered with. And I'm not saying the work of other great composers was interfered with, for example, Beethoven and others, because it was not. But I'm talking in later periods. Modern classical music, for the most part, is really not very musical in large measure. And it has been, again, deeply interfered with by those who have interfered with pretty much every human endeavor, every art form of pretty much every type, and including music, in part to seek to break down that sense of wonder and beauty of what it means to be a human being, to demean and diminish and dissolve the essence of what it means to be human. It is a sad situation that I observe, and I've come to understand that in many ways this activity really got going during my lifetime, though I did not have any great interaction with it. So my music was given to me in part to be available in your time, as it is available in your time, to be an example of melodic, structured, uplifting music. Yes, it is true that those who are driving your world have, you might say, retuned music, set it to a different tonal standard some 100 or so years ago, that has impacted to an extent the heart connection of my and other composers' music. And I do encourage people to investigate this and to seek to play music and to sing music using the old tuning, you might say, because it is much more heart-connected in its nature. And so despite this distortion, you might say, it has in fact had very little impact on the nature and the expression of my music because of its nature. And I've come to understand, in fact, that part of the structure of the music that I was given was such that it would withstand quite well these distortions in tone. So I am pleased that my music is helping to support and uplift people who connect with it, that it stands in its glory. And I use those words not from the perspective of me, but it was a gift, as I say, given to me. And so its glory is not about me, but about the music itself. And its glory does stand. It has great melody. It has humor in many cases. It has passion. It has a great deal of emotion in the traditional human sense. So, in a way, it continues to stand in the world as an example that is outside of the very debased music, you might say, that is in large measure in your world today. I'm not saying there are not any modern composers who are not composing melodic music that is not subject to these limitations. There are, but the music that gets focus and publicity in large measure is what is called atonal music, and music which really has very little to do with connecting with and uplifting the soul, which is such an important aspect of music. And if you listen to my music, or much of it, with that in mind, then you will experience this upliftment, and it is why so many people enjoy much of my music. Some people find it has a simplicity, and I recognize that. And indeed, I understand that, in fact, this was quite intentional. You might consider it has a simplicity compared with the work of Beethoven or Wagner and so on. But it is the simple melodic nature that is its essence that was a key purpose in my writing it, though, as I say, I did not understand it. And so it has a role in your time to support those of you who feel a connection with it in whatever manner, either listening to it or playing it, performing it. It is providing a link, you might say, that is outside of the tremendously dark influences that are so rampant in your world. And I will say that I too am able to witness the fact that this will not persist. It will, as I see it, become more difficult for a while, but then most of humanity or those who choose it will be set free from this very dark and difficult time. And so this, my friends, is my message for you tonight, and I'm very willing to take your questions.
Thank you both. That was so beautiful. And we invite our listeners to call in with their questions. But something that I wish to ask, now that you have crossed over to the other side, you say that this music was given to you. Give us some idea, if you can, as to where it came from.
Music essentially comes forth from the angelic realm. This might sound a little strange to some people, but there is music within creation. And indeed, sound plays a role in the very essence of creation. And so music exists, you might consider, in the very highest levels, the highest expressions of creation, and some quite complex music. There is perhaps a tendency for humanity to consider that the music that comes forth and its structure is a reflection of the evolution of human understanding or development of music, but really it is not so. The music that is present has developed, you might consider, or is expressed elsewhere, and what you see in your world is simply examples of it, particularly the more musical that I speak of. And unfortunately, the less attractive music that is appearing in your world today also comes from elsewhere, but not such uplifted environments, you might say. So the simple answer is that the music that I brought forth was given to me by angels. It is the best way to express it.
Thank you. That's a beautiful answer. Now, I would also like to know, since you have crossed over, has your monad sent another finger of consciousness to Earth that will deal with music?
My monad has not sent another finger of consciousness to Earth regarding music or indeed any other thing, because in a sense, the energy that was expressed through my lifetime and indeed my music continues to be, you might say, supported by my monad. And so there was a very conscious decision to not send forth another finger of consciousness into the earth plane after my lifetime. That does not mean that there will not be other fingers of consciousness that are sent forth once ascension has occurred, because I anticipate that will be so, but there have not been any that have come forth since my lifetime. There were fingers of consciousness from my monad prior to my life, which you might consider were, in a sense, preparing for my lifetime. You might say they were helping my monad to acclimatize to the environment of the earth.
Thank you. I'm curious about something. There is what is considered the Mozart effect, where it has an effect upon the brain. And for some, it helps people to sleep. Others, it helps people to do well in school. Can you give us some sort of an idea as to what's happening here, if you're aware of it?
Yes, this phenomenon is very real, and indeed it is also applicable to a baby in vitro to support its development, because the fetus is aware of the music that is being played around it. And this effect is a reflection of the nature of my music, this essential melodic character, the vibrations, if you will, that are encoded into the music that I was given, not all of which I understood in my lifetime, but there is a great deal of support that is provided, you might say, to humanity through my music. Some people find it quite healing if they are struggling in some manner. And as I say, it helps greatly the development of the brain function of the fetus, particularly for intelligence, particularly for an empathy with music itself. These things are fostered by playing my music when a child is in vitro. Again, it is not something I claim for myself, but rather it is something that was encoded into the music that was given to me.
That's a beautiful answer. Thank you so much. And again, we invite our listeners to call in with their questions. I'm sure the answers forthcoming would be just as beautiful as what we're receiving presently. So I believe what you have said is that those who wish to interfere with humankind in a negative manner have interfered with music. And what happens when people are listening to music that is detrimental to them? What happens to their being?
If you look at how so many elements of life are structured today, then you recognize it's not just music to which this applies. There has been a very dedicated effort to demean and deconstruct what all that, you might say, humanity holds dear. And so music has been demeaned greatly, and this has been going on for perhaps 150 years in earnest. And so you have modern music that has such atonal character and full of electronic vibration, you might say, and also bass notes in a rhythmic manner. These things are all intentional, and they are set up to disturb the natural patterning of a human being. You see, the natural essence of the human being is to connect in some manner with the soul and to, you might say, give life to that soul that exists within, and to recognize the beauty of what that is, and to understand that, in essence, every human being is a soul or a spiritual being on a human journey, and not the other way around. But in the way the consciousness has been in the last 13,000 years or so, that connection is not obvious until or and unless the individual does some work to go within and open these doors. Now, if you look at this, what I would call destructive music today, if you look at the much of the artwork, if you look at how people are taught today, of course, the violence that is in movies and television, the fear that is present in the news that is poured forth, the disruption of a peaceful life, and so on, so many things. And some of these threads were active in my time, though not so obvious in a sense. And so much has been done to unsettle this connection, to have as many of humanity as possible disconnected from the essence of who and what they are, disconnected from their spiritual nature, believing that they are simply this, you might say, lump of meat that is living for a while and then dies. And that's it. That's all you are. And most people in the Western world have taken on that view. Of course, it is not accurate, as you understand, but it has been greatly encouraged. And I was brought up in the Catholic Church and was, in essence, unquestioning about the nature of what the Church was doing. But I've come to understand how it itself is a distortion of that true spiritual nature of a human being. For me, in my time and where I lived, it was really the only path to God, you might say. And in essence, it was supportive of me, but I also knew that there was much more going on because of my own gifts, because of the way that music was simply given to me and the understandings that I have. So my religious experience, you might say, was not the limiting factor that it is for most people. So it's a long answer to your question, perhaps, but in essence, what is being done is to seek to break down this sense of what it means to be a human being in so many ways, not just the spiritual side, but even the nature of what is normal from a sexual point of view, for example, is being distorted and really destroyed. Similarly, efforts are being made to interbreed different races of people. This is not the way things are meant to be. People want to be with their own. There are different expressions of human life, and in large measure, they are different, and they identify with each other. And so intermingling them, as is being done today, is an intentional effort to break down the very nature of what it means to be a human being.
Thank you. If there are individuals who wish to work with you in composing music and so forth, and they called upon you, would you be willing to work with them?
I would be very willing to work with them, and indeed some have and do call upon me in various ways, some consciously, some, you might say, wishing that I might support them, and I do, and they are not aware of it in some cases, but some are very much aware that I do this. And indeed, it is something that is of great focus to me because music really is the essence of my soul, you might say. And so I work with people who wish to try and bring forth music that is expressing the things that I sought to express in my music, that is melodic, that is uplifting, that is passionate even, so that perhaps some of the modern music that comes forth still reflects the things that I was being given. So, yes, I am very willing to work with anyone who wishes to connect with me. And it's not just composers, but also musicians, if they wish to, in a sense, learn to channel my input as they play my music in particular. I am very open to this.
That's wonderful. Thank you so much. I do appreciate hearing that. So now that you are on the other side, what kind of work are you doing?
my major focus is really what I just expressed, and that is seeking to support the playing of my music in your world, and that it be played on a widespread basis, and also supporting those who wish to engage in music of an uplifting nature, whether it be playing my music or singing my music or however it is, but also those who wish to compose uplifting and melodic music. And so this is a very great focus of mine, because music really plays such an important role in human life if it is allowed to do so. It is one of the mechanisms by which individuals can get a greater sense of themselves. People very often find great music very uplifting. They find it very soulful, because it is soulful. It is the essence of what it means to be a spiritual being. Music is such an integral part of the soul and the soul's journey. And so it is a great passion of mine to seek to see this expressed as much as possible in the world, at least until this transition occurs that you are aware of. And then, in a sense, my responsibility will lessen quite a deal, because those who wish to connect, in a sense, if you will, with my music and to move forward in this manner will find it much easier than it currently is. So you might say I am just as dedicated to music now as I was when I was alive.
Such beautiful and complete answers. We certainly do appreciate it. And also, I think your words would be very helpful to people who wish to work with you, knowing that you would come forth and be of assistance to them. Such a happy thought. And I want to thank you for coming forth and telling us about this. It brings great joy to me that we can share these messages with the world. Thank you so much to the two of you for Mozart bringing the information and for Richard bringing forth the words. Thank you both.
Thank you, Carolyn.
So, Richard, did you have any questions you wanted to ask of Mr. Mozart?
Well, we usually don't deal with questions by email, but I did have an email from a woman in Holland in relation to her sister, who is actually a musician, and actually a couple of parts of it already been covered by your questions. But one part that hasn't was this: because Mozart died at such a young age, was that preordained, and did Mozart fulfill his personal mission in his short and difficult life? And perhaps part of this has been answered, but let's see what he has to say.
Interesting question.
I am satisfied that I fulfilled the essence of my mission. Yes, had I lived longer, I would have composed more music, as I said earlier, and completed some uncompleted work. Indeed, I was working very hard right up to my death to complete some of my composing. But something that most people do not understand, and that is that for most souls, the timing of their death is preordained. Even if you die in an accident, or you die of illness or disease or whatever it is that ends your life, in most cases, the timing of that death is actually preordained and in fact set before you were ever born. Most of humanity don't understand this. Now, there are exceptions to this, but in large measure, there are very few exceptions to this. And so people get caught up in the drama of death, firstly, because they don't understand what death is, but secondly, because they don't understand that the ending of a life is pre-planned, you might say. Just as the other key events that occur in people's lives are also pre-planned. And so I did not, of course, recognize this when I was alive, and of course no one wants to die, but I quickly came to understand when I crossed over that I had in essence fulfilled my mission in bringing forth the music that I had brought forth. And so once I crossed over, I was very much at peace with the fact that I had lived such a short life.
I'd like to thank Richard for doing this work, and for you, Mr. Mozart, for the incredibly beautiful answers that you've given us, and to BBS for supporting us. I thank you both. And Richard, before we go, we have 3 minutes. Is there anything you wish to bring forth about what we are doing?
Well, we probably have a little longer than that, Carolyn. I think up to 10 minutes to the hour we probably have. And before we do that, I see we have a call from Jennifer on line one. Did you want to take that?
Yes. Jennifer, you must be quick, dear. We're at the end of the show. What's your question?
Was there any truth to the relationship that Salieri had with Mozart, the way it was portrayed in the movie about Mozart?
I don't know what she's saying.
Seem to be getting a mixed thing. Could you just ask your question again?
Yes, is there any relationship?
Jennifer, if you have a microphone open, could you please close it off, because it's feeding back through when you ask your question? Ah, she's gone.
Well, that solves the problem. So, Richard, is there something you wish to mention here in the last minutes of our program?
Well, interestingly enough, the energies of working with Mozart and so on has taken me back to the Templars, really, because, you know, what they were doing had such a spiritual essence as well, and they were working with vibration very much in a different way from what Mozart has been discussing. But, you know, I'm just drawn to the similarity of that beautiful uplifted energy that I've experienced working with Mozart, and certainly I experience in some of his music. And so I would just like to take a moment to mention that extraordinary material that Carolyn and I were given by the Knights Templar over about a 12 to 18 months period, a whole series of messages about who they were and what they were doing and why they were doing it, their connection to the work of Yeshua and Mary Magdalene, which they understood, their connection to this time, and of course the fact that they built the Gothic cathedrals, which is not widely recognized, though some people have written about it, and the purpose of those extraordinary buildings that they created. So it really is, I think, quite fascinating material, which we took as recordings and packaged it up with images and music. And so it's available on DVD and Blu-ray. And I personally think it's fascinating material. If you are drawn to it, you will really love it. We have had an amazing array of feedback on that material. And one of the things that drew me to it, which connected with what Mozart was saying, was he was commenting about how there were vibrations in his music that he didn't realize were there. And the same is true in those recorded messages. They carry vibrations that were not in my or Carolyn's plans to put them there, but they are there in that material, and it's one of the reasons we recorded them in that way rather than just making the transcriptions available, which we do make available to those who order the disc set. So I'll put a link in the email that I send out in relation to these, because it really is, I think, amazing material. And if you haven't connected with it, I encourage you to do so.
Cynthia is on line one. Cynthia, we're at the end of our show. Can you give us your question very quickly?
Does Mozart have a favorite composer that he likes to listen to?
Interesting question.
It is a difficult question because I was so engrossed in what my music was about that I don't wish to sound selfish, but I was very much, you might say, almost addicted to my own music. Of course, there have been other great composers over time that I have come to understand. Indeed, some of them I have come to know very well on this side, because there is a certain camaraderie amongst souls that have been on earth as composers. So if I had to pick another composer, and you are challenging me, perhaps it would be Beethoven.
Oh.
But there are many. The work of Chopin and Tchaikovsky and so many others, so many beautiful composers that brought forth such gifts for humanity in their lives.
Okay, we've got...
Well, thank you.
We're at the end of our show. You're welcome, dear. Elaine, on line two, what's your question, sweetheart? We need it quickly.
Yes, thank you. I first became aware of you, Mr. Mozart, when I was 13 years old, and it brought through a music teacher at school. It brought me great joy, and it awakened something in me, which I can't quite define. But I wanted to ask you if you were connected at all to the Temple of Healing in Egypt, maybe through music or in some way. I don't know, the thought came that you might have been.
Did you understand the question, Richard?
Yes, I did. I did not have a direct connection with that temple. However, one of the things that does occur through my music is that it does bring forth elements within the human frame, you might say, that are healing in nature. And so my music in and of itself can be or can contribute to the healing process. Of course, the issue of healing is always the responsibility of the individual, but those who are committed to their own healing may find value in playing my music as part of their healing experience.
I thank you for that answer. Thank you very much indeed.
Richard, we're at the end of the show. Is there anything you wish to comment on?
I don't think so. I think it's all been pretty clear. I've just... enjoyed Mozart's energy. As I said, there is a great humility about the man, a great understanding of what he was doing, a great sense of responsibility that was there in his life, I sense, and is still there as he remains connected to the expression of music on earth and seeking to do what he can to see that persist despite the best efforts of those who want to destroy it.
I thought it was interesting that he mentioned August Rush.
Yes, I did too. Yes, August Rush has become a bit of a favourite of mine, again, because of that theme that the music is being given to that young boy who is doing the composing, or supposedly doing the composing, but that notion that it's coming from beyond this dimension. And certainly it's something that a lot of artists talk about. Painters, for example, in many cases talk about, in essence, going into a different state when they paint, that they're really bringing forth what is being given to them.
And the other concept is that music is all around us.
Yes.
Well, Richard, we're at the end of the show, and it is time to say goodbye, unless you have another thing you want to discuss.
I don't think so. I think we've done very well, and I thank Mozart for coming forth and being so generous with his energy, with his understandings, with his clarity for people. It's so clear that there are so many people in the world that just love his music. And so
absolutely. And I thank you. I thank Mozart. And I thank BBS for supporting us in all of this.
Indeed. And so, good night for now.
Good night for now. Until the next time.